Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And folks, it is now or never, and it is election season, which means it's rhino hunting time, which means that if we're effective, if we can actually become effective, and how do we do that? Well, we'll get into that. But if we can become effective in this hunting season, we might actually make, it would be nice. I mean, I'm dreaming to make our political base, or I should say our elected officials and public servants, making them rhino free would almost be a too good to be true type of dream. Because there's to cover all of the bases in one clear shot. And actually, it's not really one clear shot. In Wyoming, we were able to unseat 17 rhinos. Now, out of the 17 rhinos that we were able to put, you know, displace and put other people in office, the fact of the matter is that some of those people that we put in office, because you're not demanding compliance, some of these people have gone into office and you know, changed their paradigm from what they campaigned on to actually stating, hey, I'm for sale. And they have voted, and some of their records are not as stellar as they told you that they would be. Now, this isn't just a unique thing in Wyoming. This happens everywhere. As a matter of fact, I understand that there are a lot of different factors in going into running for office. And so we really want to cover what those factors are, but what we really want to cover more importantly is what your paradigm needs to be, because I'm hoping that many of you will actually look at the opportunity and start actually getting out there. So if you really want to become a well-known name in your county, run for county commissioner. You may not make it, but you can actually stir up the dust. And in the meantime, and in the same process, you can begin leading in these constitutional counties. There are different ways to be able to aggrandize oneself and one's position in your community. And there's nothing more self-initiated, because, you know, you could wait for your neighbors to just say, you know, you're such a stellar neighbor. But that's maybe important in your neighborhood, but it's not necessarily important throughout the county or throughout, you know, the subdivision or the district. Remember, counties are always broken down, and they're politically broken down by these districts and so forth. So what we're asking and what we're looking for and what we're hoping is we're hoping that we can become as effective as possible. And your race and your county and what you're doing, you know, we're here to help you. We want to actually go through positions that you need to be, you know, aware of, or you need to actually be able to start identifying and articulating. I'll give you a good example. In many parts of the northern states, which they, you know, have a winter, you know, a real winter, because you can't tell me that down in the south and across the, you know, I will say the southern edge of the contiguous 48 states, that they really experience winter. So it's not like the average car, or maybe even, you know, a few people in the neighborhood have actual snow tires with, you know, studded snow tires or what have you, that they rotate for the season. Well, up in the north we do, and I'm one of those people that rotates my tires. And one of the things that you become painfully aware of, if you do this on twice a year, because we have to rotate our tires twice a year, and twice a year we have to go through a legal process that our tire company, and I wouldn't recommend our tire company, but, and I'm actually looking to go to probably a smaller, because these warehouses or discount places that, you know, that's all they do are tires. They are way too busy to really provide the, you know, they claim they give you the service, but when it comes time to be able to rotate those tires, you know, they're just not as available. You know what I mean? They, just bring it on in. We'll swap it out when they sell you the tires. But then when it comes time we have to swap out those tires, we're booked weeks in advance. I mean, 2-3 weeks. Anyway, what really gets my goat and what would be articulated as an issue is, where is it in the interest of our state legislators for them to create a law? Excuse me, we got a frog today. For them to create a law that requires that they cannot touch your car. They cannot touch your car and touch that tire or put a tire on that has a very specific thread. Now, I live in an area, and you've heard me rant about people that, are driving with improper, equipment on their car, such as tires, because it's very common, especially over by the pass on the west side of the state, where people will go from the Seattle area up into the mountains to have fun in the snow, and they don't have the proper tires, and they end up going up, and the roads are slick because they can't keep them perfectly pristine, and these cars spin out, and they have accidents. That's a huge problem, and what they do is they actually have to shut the freeway down whenever there's that kind of an accident, and it becomes a huge bottleneck for all traffic. Well, I believe that the driver has to take on greater liability, and that the state needs to actually go after them. And, if you have an accident and you didn't have the proper tires, did that person get cited? And if that person was cited, did they have to pay the consequence of the economic impact of shutting down a major interstate freeway? Yeah, that's right. Because if you've got trucks, people on the clock that are having to sit there waiting an hour, 30 minutes for somebody's butt to get pulled out of the ditch and to get them, cleared off the road and clean up the road, what have you, then who should have to pay for that? Well, the state doesn't have to pay for that. They have regulations, and the individual should pay for that. Well, why doesn't the tire company? I mean, shoot, they're throwing all these. But the reason they created these laws for the tire companies is not because it's about safety. It's about revenue for the tire company. See, tire companies have deeper pockets than you do, and they're going to buy your politicians to get them to pass a law that will have a direct impact on you. And what I mean by that is, yeah, if you're going to go into the mountains, you better have snow tires, or you're going to have to pay the cost. If you have an accident because you're driving on bald tires and it's raining and you lose control and cause damage, you need to be accountable for that and held responsible. But it's a different thing when you actually go in and you know the vehicle that you're putting these tires on, you're not going to be having to even compromise the safety of yourself or the safety of this vehicle. You should be able to sign a release of liability. Why is it that these tire places, and this is just one example of how they'll create a regulation that forces you to actually spend money at their establishment. And why do they do that? Because they, again, have deeper pockets. And this all kind of marries up with, these people that say, you need to have more freedom and you need to have more say and you need to be able to take the responsibility. We need to have laws that actually do that. That's exactly what we need to have. We need to have laws that do not allow you or anybody else to go down this path of being strong-armed into having to buy tires for a vehicle that, the tires you're putting on it are more than adequate for you to go get the mail and the little errands you do. There are lots of people that would be able to actually save money if you were able to drive those tires to its fullest extent. And I know that there are not, these aren't arbitrary rules. I mean, the tread on a tire, they do have calculations that when the tread wears to a certain point that you start losing an amount, especially in rain, you start losing safety. Or I should say, you're compromising your safety. Well, okay. So if you're a bad driver and you don't pay attention, then you need people to take care of you. But in America, we don't have a nanny state, and we don't need people to take care of us. The problem is we have so many people in that paradigm because they've accepted our government's paradigm that, oh, well, we know better, and we're going to take care of you so that you don't have to worry about it. Well, the Constitution doesn't give them that latitude. So anyway, what we want you to do is we want you to start going through, and I want to get these things posted. They're just not clean. It's just like my slides, which I just put up today. These are not clean, and I've actually shared these with one person, with Crystal. I'll mention her name because she's taking notes. She's getting involved, and so what we want to do is we want you to take a look at these things, and if there is suggestions or something we're missing or something we need to clarify, let us know. As a matter of fact, these issues that I'm going to post, and I'm going to post these on the Constitutional Perspectives page. I will do that this weekend because we're going to go through these because it's important for the election season for you to know every single aspect of things that we have to be aware of as we start working on, you know, holding our public servants accountable, or at least holding them, you know, or calling them out when they're asking for our votes to say, well, where do you stand on this? Why are we getting these types of laws? Why is it that we can lose our home by fraud with zero protections? Where are our protections of our property? Those types of things. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get through some obligatories. As you know, we've got a message that we were going to be giving tomorrow to Representative Cawthorn out of North Carolina. So I hope some of you have called him. I hope some of you have let them know that we're giving him free political advice of how to save his butt and how to actually use the narrative that they're attacking him with and use that against them. Anyway, so you want to tune in, and we're going to hit that first thing instead of ranting about local laws and those types of things. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions, and as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. Now, we've got the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle that we can't say enough about looking into subscribing. It is not an online, and this is kind of like one of those, it's a startup, Conservative Chronicle, or a constitutionally focused newspaper. Imagine that. Imagine if you had a, what we'll call a constitutional flyer, or a constitutional, you know, little newspaper. As a matter of fact, Douglas V. Gibbs in California used to actually go out and print these little, I'll just call them little handouts that he would put in places where customers would sit and wait, you know, where they have magazines, like a tire shop or a car, a car dealership where, you know, people sit in the service area. He would print these things out, and he would actually go and place these out there as kind of like an advertisement. And it was usually a multi-page, like two or three sheets of paper, and it'd be kind of like this, what is it, 17 by 11? So if you fold it, it's a reasonable size little handout. And he put a little cartoon, and he put, you know, a little crossword puzzle, but most of the stuff would have little articles about the Constitution. And so it was kind of like a constitutional periodical that he would print out every two weeks, maybe it was once a month, and he delivered these things out. And this is how he was able to kind of expand. And in this, he talked about, you know, his classes that he taught the Constitution and so forth. It was a lot of work for him. And having all of that done, you know, takes quite a bit of time to deliver and all of that. And so he kind of abandoned that. But I believe that there are ways of taking what he's kind of doing and putting that into an advertisement. Because if you're running for office, the first thing people do when they see a political vote for me, they ignore it. They're not going to even pick it up. As a matter of fact, you get these types of flyers, these, you know, door hangers or what have you. And when people recognize, you know, that here is, you know, an ad for, you know, vote for this person, then, you know, they have a hard time just keeping their eyes on it. They just want to throw it away. So what you have to do if you're going to start, you know, if you're going to run for office and you want to send out flyers, then you need to address the content instead of making it look like, hey, I'm running for office and I want your vote. You have to actually put it out as a complaint. Make one of these issues a complaint to saying, aren't you tired of this? Are you, you know, the school board is doing these types of things and they shouldn't have this type of power, or whatever the issue seems to be, the lightning, I'll call it the lightning rod, because everybody seems to gravitate like lightning to this one issue. So what you want to do is use those types of things to put out in a little flyer. And instead of putting your name to say, hey, you know, vote for me, because 9 times out of 10, you may have vote for Shea, vote for Wilson, whatever. You just put your domain name down there and just say, you know, by providing, as you articulate exactly how to solve these problems. Because remember, leaders don't look downstream to address what to do about the symptoms. Leaders identify the source of the problem upstream. They call out the reason we have this homelessness problem is because of all the social engineering and our education system. And you can articulate exactly how they do this. And so, because we have been indoctrinated to believe that government is here to serve us, when that is the absolute opposite of what a free nation and what this nation was supposed to do. So this is how you start actually getting people to see the views your way and actually gravitate towards your campaign. If you just, you know, say, I'm running for office and here's, you know, I'm anti-abortion, you know, that's great. But 9 times out of 10, people won't even read it because they recognize it's just a political flyer. But they'll read something that actually is talking about a real issue that they see in their community, or they see a problem within their county and state or what have you. And that's how you do it, folks. You get them hooked on obviously here's something that's very passionate, it's polarizing everybody, whether it's illegal immigration, whether it's the Ukraine war and our involvement. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're running for county, if you're running for even state legislature, I wouldn't talk about the Ukraine. I wouldn't talk about anything that's national. You need to focus. If there's anything you talk about national, it should be talking about these unconstitutional mandates, these unconstitutional czars and kings that have been created through these bureaucracies, like Fauci. So use your noggin and actually sit down and articulate your positions. But this is why we want to go through these positions, okay? So anyway, let's get back to some more obligatories. ConstitutionalEducation.us, Keith Borders and his Constitution Education US website can help you. And as a matter of fact, you, if you're running for office and you actually want to, you know, get people to start looking at the Constitution in the proper perspective, then use some of the stuff that Keith has. Take that stuff. I don't want to say steal it, but if you share that, and if you share those messages and those facts about the Constitution, that just supports your position. And people love it when somebody actually could support their position instead of saying, you know, I believe this, and it's kind of subjective. Don't rely on subjectivity in your campaign. You need to stick with facts, okay? And so RadioDustCovers.com, I want to plug them today. What we're trying to do is, I'm trying not to go through these long lists anymore, but what we want to do is just kind of cut that down so that we can focus on what's really important. And so RadioDustCovers.com, that's Stan Kluett, and he will actually cover those things you want to protect. With that, we have our comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, as we, you know, look at the county, because I'm pointing now to this slide presentation that I put up. It's a PDF document, but what you need to do, and we've actually put this on the Constitutional Perspective, this is kind of the structure of what we've been talking about. We've got this little, on the very first page, this is the beginning of your county militia structure. There is a possibility now that you may actually have an actual militia, but we're not looking at the county militia structure as creating a militia. We're looking at creating a citizen's vigilance. You have to understand that there is this, not duplicity, but there is this duality. There's this co-relationship. There's a symbiotic relationship between you as the citizen and your defense with the militia. Now, your defense from public servants should not be an armed defense. That would be an insurrection. And that's why in the Constitution, they gave us the First Amendment petition to protect us, that we can call them out and they have to actually respond. Well, when they no longer respond, this is why we actually have to start educating people. They've been indoctrinating us for well over 100 years. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember who it was that I know Bob Schultz talks about this, and I think Bob Schultz went into this, that it was because of the slavery issue in the Senate that they actually stopped dealing with very specific petitions. They weren't going to talk about slavery in the Senate because Van Buren, the guy that formed the Democratic Party, created the gag rule that shut down the discussion of slavery. So you have to understand that the tool, the weapon that they put in for citizen vigilance to hold their public servants and government accountable is the First Amendment petition. It didn't have anything within the Constitution, or there wasn't anything associated with that, of what to do if they don't respond. Well, folks, the Civil War actually answered that problem with the 14th Amendment. This is why we've already covered this week. We've already covered the basic roles that you need, even if there is an organized militia. If there is one, I would actually go and I would talk to those folks that are in that militia. Go talk to the CO and say, hey, look, and this is a county militia. I would go and talk to the commander and say, look, I'm creating an unorganized militia because we as citizens have the duty and responsibility not just to defend ourselves, but to hold our government accountable. And we're going to be using First Amendment petitions, and we're going to be attacking our public servants and government anytime it actually falls out of alignment from this, you know, from their duties, their sworn duty of office to support the Constitution. They don't have options of, there's no asterisk in the Constitution that says, oh, well, you know, they can politically compromise all of these things. No, they can't. They are that is the law of the land, and they need to be held accountable to that. So we'll be right back after these two promos, and we're going to dive into next going through and listing these executive committees. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me point out, though, that there is this, right here on the very first slide, there is this listing, or is what we could just call your public servants and your government. That's your sheriff. That's your county legislators. That's your school board. That's your coroner. That's any person that is actually your utility boards. Those people who you actually vote on. This is not comprehensive. If I made this comprehensive, then this would be a lot more information. What we're just trying to do is we're trying to give you the connecting the dots of where your focus needs to lie. And your focus needs to lie as a citizen on holding your public servants and government accountable. Why is it that we're trying to hold Congress accountable when our county commissioners or county supervisors and county government are getting away with murder? You get my point. What we have to do is we actually have to hold our counties accountable first, get them to actually become our defenders of our liberties, because technically that's their job. We vote for these people to take this oath to support the Constitution, not to support, you know, their great retirement scheme. They're public servants, not royalty. We abandoned this concept of royalty hundreds of years ago, that we are a citizen government, a self-citizen government. But we're not a democracy. We're a republican form of government. So we have to hold our representatives accountable. So why is it that we only focus on Congress? Like Congress is the one that gives us everything. Well, right now, that's how they've lined themselves up. Anyway, I can't emphasize enough that the First Amendment petition drive and the signatures that you're going to be getting at the very beginning of your First Amendment petitions, and when you get out there and you're sitting at the grocery store, have a couple of different petitions, because at least one of these things will grab and have a little flyer. I mean, just make a little card that says, you know, throw your governor out, put your governor's name in, you know, sign the petition to get rid of this person, sign the petition to, you know, get rid of Congress, sign this. And everybody, when they start reading these petitions, they'll go, well, hold on, you're talking about getting rid of Congress, but this is a petition to our county commissioners. Then you can start teaching them, because it doesn't take very long for you to say, hey, look, we're a representative government, and they are the representatives closest to us. They have a responsibility, and if you read this petition, we connect the dots on why they need to start taking a stand in defending us from all these different levels of tyranny. And people go, yeah, you know what? You're right. We can't give these guys a pass. They're getting away with murder. And they'll start using the same language that you use. Get out to, you know, connect with that the organized militia. Get out and connect with the other civic activist organizations as well as the parties. You want to actually go and talk to every different party in your county. If there's an IAP, there's going to be a Republican Party, a Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, any party that embraces and supports the Constitution. I wouldn't waste my time with the Democratic Party. And if somebody says, hey, you're not coming over here because you guys don't seem to have any concern with supporting the Constitution. You actually support ideas that violate and actually completely ignore the Constitution and the supreme laws of the land. And that's why. Okay? So when you start looking at your county structure, that's the third slide. We have basically your county original or organizational structure sample, where we kind of break down the UM is unorganized militia. And so there's your structure of kind of like your line and block chart for your central committee, your subdivision committees, which is your districts, right? Or your parishes, or however they break down the parishes. I think they call them wards. Anyway, then you have these executive committees, and that's what we want to go through, what these roles are. But bottom line, as we break down our political structure, we break it down by precinct. So every party has precinct committee officers, or at least they should. Now, the Republicans, but they have them, but they're not, there's not 100%. So if you really want to start actually taking over the Republican Party, because this is what we've already done, is you find out how many seats are open and you start filling those seats with people that love the Constitution and getting them involved. Now, here's the reason why it's a complete waste of time to actually try to convert the Republican Party. Unless you live in Wyoming, there's the greatest likelihood that all of your effort will just go for naught. In other words, you're just wasting your time and spinning your wheels, because the establishment at the state level will never let you and your county start driving constitutional changes. They'll never embrace the Constitution because they have been fighting it for years. And if you disagree with me, then by all means, let's have a conversation. I'll do the due diligence and I'll prove you otherwise. Because bottom line, the Constitution is the greatest threat to these types of organizations, especially when we start demanding compliance. They perceive that as the greatest threat. Okay, so the unorganized militias, Central Committee membership, and we have all of these different members. And so this is not the voting member of the Central Committee. So I need to put that in there. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. The Central Committee's voting. So there we go. Voting members. All right. So we have the central committee chair, or the county chair for the unorganized militia, and the vice chair. We have the divisions, subdivisions, whether that be wards or districts or what have you, the chairs that represent those. These are voting members. And you have your county parish commissioners that you invite them, but they're not voting members. They already vote on the laws and they regulate laws. But you want them there, and the reason why you want them there, so that they can explain why they're doing what they do. And a lot of times when they realize you're just going to, this is just a meeting for you to hold them accountable, they won't even show up. But what you do is you maintain those chairs, or at least a spot, a small little table for your county commissioners to say, okay, well, this is where they should be sitting as our representatives. They should actually be here to listen. And so you just want to make sure that everybody knows, hey, they're invited. We want them here, but they refuse to attend. Okay, so that right there is a message for the upcoming election. You know, are your representatives representing you? And if they're not attending these meetings to understand how they can represent you better, then they're really not your representatives. I mean, come on, do the math. It's simple. You have your county committeeman. Now, the county committeeman is, and as a matter of fact, you have all of these different county committeemen, possibly by the party. Invite them. They're not a voting member either. They're really a part of the party. But these are the people that are supposed to be talking about the business at hand that they're dealing with the state legislators. This is why they're there. The petition director, now this is a working member of the unorganized militia. This is the guy that actually keeps track and is managing what the petitions are. They're working on future petitions, and they're going after all of the local people. They should have all of the data necessary of how many signatures you've got on these petitions and so forth. Got to remember, and so I'm going to go down this little hole on the petition part. What is the time limits on a First Amendment petition? There are none. If Congress is continuing to violate the Constitution by failing to support the Constitution and deploying the militia and stopping this invasion, and this continues on and on, then that is an active life petition that the government has failed to redress the grievances. And so you have to continue to keep and get more and more signatures. And you have a right to go back and revisit your petition, especially if they're ignoring it, if they're not doing anything. And then you go back to them and say, look, we're presenting you now with this many signatures. This is 50% of the county is demanding that you take a stand and that you go to the state legislators and tell them to recall and remove every single one of these members of Congress, have them pull back and actually force them out of office. Get these people out. They have no business being public servants. Okay? All right, so then we have the community director, which, again, we talked about this previously, so I don't want to rehash this. This is the person that really is kind of operating the, what we'll call the security, your community security. And there are all sorts of ways that you can take this. It's a citizen watch. A lot of the counties up here where I live actually have a citizen's watch. They have, you know, cops on wheels, which is a cop car, a retired cop car that the sheriff has provided the community for the senior citizens to kind of drive around and look for suspicious behavior and report it. This is great. Well, why isn't this organization a part of the unorganized militia? So you need to reach out to these types of organizations. Here is an activist group or a citizens group that is involved in citizens' vigilance. They need to be a part of this unorganized militia as well. Now, this next person that you have is the militia commander and executive officer. Now, the community watch director, that is a voting member. But the militia commander and executive officer, I believe, has to be a member of this and needs to be a voting member of this as well. Your common law court director, they because this goes back to some of these positions we're going to talk to, this is a person that will be a voting member. The sheriff is not a voting member only unless, and his vote is required if you have a tie vote. You've got the central committee chairs, and so Anyway, and that actually is a duplication. We'll be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summary, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so here's a perfect example of why I'm not, and nor do I care to be, a perfect, polished, conservative entertainer, basically parroting a very specific narrative. Because as I go along, I may make a mistake. And so in going through, I'm glad I did, because I finished going through this entire slide for you. And this is the Unorganized Militias County Central Committee voting membership. I basically had a little box on this that actually duplicated the subdivision chairs, which are, that's your structure. The PCOs, the precinct committee officers, they actually don't become, you know, voting members at the central committee, but only during the, you know, organizations and those types of things. This is where you kind of keep most of your decisions down to your representatives at the district level. At the party, see, if you look at the party structure today, the district leadership does not have their own meetings. They don't have their own voting and using the PCO. Now, the overall organization, once you form your convention, because that's what the parties do, they have a convention every 2 years to determine who is going to be the leadership and how this leadership will be broken down. And what you do is you vote for them, and all the PCOs are the voting members. In other words, everybody in the county, or I should say in the parties, they usually don't require that the chair be a PCO. Well, I believe that everybody that's a part of the membership actually has to be a PCO, which means that if you have a precinct, if you look at your voting precinct and you have a lot of really good conservatives in there, it could become problematic. However, if that person becomes a PCO and becomes a leader, then that person that actually vacates that position has to actually do that. They have to vacate. I have a problem with the fact that you have a district leader that is also a precinct committee officer as well. So in other words, you vacate your precinct, and in the next election reorg, you go back to either being a precinct committee officer. So here's the problem, that if you become a leader in the county organization and the next reorg comes along, You know, you should not be able to vote for yourself. It should be left to those people who are the precinct committee officers at the time. But today, they actually, when the party actually has these meetings, this is one of the reasons why, you know, John Charleston uses the term keep it small, keep it all. What they do is they make sure that they don't have lots of PCOs, that when they do the reorg meeting, that all of those people who are a part of the executive committee who are no longer PCOs, they get to vote for themselves. You can't have that. It's one thing to be actually voted in as a leader, but to vote yourself in as a leader and create a little cabal to ensure that you're protected so that you can maintain leadership. Folks, that is repugnant to the principles that founded this nation. We don't want royalty. And so we have to understand that, you know, having different people in the position should not change the organization. If you have a tight organization, which is founded on the Constitution, then it doesn't matter who's there. Because bottom line, everybody's behavior and everybody's leadership, there may be differences in styles. But you cannot go down the path of turning your back on the Constitution. This organization cannot allow that. Anybody that actually starts saying, hey, we're okay with, you know, these unconstitutional laws, we're okay with these unconstitutional powers, roles, and responsibilities, then that actually becomes, you know, this big, huge sore on the end of your nose that just glows for everybody to see. Well, no, we can't have that. Bottom line is, the whole point of this organization is to hold our public servants and our government accountable to the Constitution, that they must comply. So it becomes very obvious if anybody tries to deviate from that, to say, well, because the whole point in this organization is also training. You're training people on what is the truth on First Amendment petitions? What's the truth on the Constitution, these amendments? What's the truth on the Eighth Amendment within the Bill of Rights, which is basically it's unconstitutional to have or allow unusual or cruel punishments. And I'm not citing it per se, but the whole point is that government can't have laws that create unusual or severe types of punishments. But we do that. We do have that because our court system does that. You can't tell me that if you have a fine or a fee for a certain type of behavior that will decimate one person but not decimate another, then you actually have a law that becomes very oppressive to a certain class of people. Our justice system must be blind. It doesn't matter. Each person, when they violate this law, each person must feel the impact or the oppression equally. Anything otherwise is cruel and unusual punishment. It's to those types of people that don't have the money, affluence, or what have you. We should not have a system that allows certain people to get a pass because they make a lot more money. No, you violated this law, then you have to be held just like everybody else, accountable. This is why, and I've said this before, we'll get into these issues later. I'm just giving this to you as an example of why we want these structures to be very, very tight, but make it so that you can't, you know, if you are actually a leader, then you're a leader because you're being chosen by the people, not by yourself or by your cabal. Enough said. I'll let you get into the details on this, but bottom line, that is your county central committee voting membership. Now, when we look at the executive committee committees, these are the executive's committees for your county. The most important organization that you have that you actually will have to start working on, and technically, this is one of the committees that you kind of create when you create this unorganized militia as yourself. You become the committee chair for constitutional compliance. You become the committee chair for the First Amendment Petition Committee. You become the committee chair for training and educating. So as you grow, remember I told you, as you start growing, these people that come in that are really good, that understand the Constitution, make them the chair. make them the chair of the First Amendment petitions. If they, if they're really good at writing and can write resolutions and so forth, then get them to do these things. But you have to do these things, because the only way you're going to get people to understand what you're doing and why you're doing this is to actually do what needs to be done. You need to start using First Amendment petitions and teaching people why this is so important. The events committee chair, that's another one. So these right here are kind of like the administrative chairs or committees that, you know, help the organization grow. It helps everything, you know, moving forward and so forth. However, as this organization grows, this training and education committee will actually grow into a much larger role, because this committee is actually charged with also overseeing the county education. In other words, your county supervisors, what's going on in your school system, what's going on in your universities as well as your community colleges, any educational edifice. Any building that has and serves education to any degree, you need to know about it, and you need to know what they're doing, and you need to know if they're getting government funds or not. Even if they aren't getting government funds, they are still, they could become what we'll call a hostile entity within your community. If they're espousing communism, if they're espousing Mohammedism and espousing these concepts of subjecting people and forcing them to do things that, you know, are not within their individual freedom, their free will, then we need to know about all of these organizations. We need to start quantifying and classifying them as, you know, these are bad organizations, because they're teaching people concepts of compulsion. They're teaching people that, you know, principles and ideas that are contrary to our Constitution and individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and so forth. So anyway, everything else in these first four committees, the Constitution Compliance, First Amendment, the Training and Education and Events, again, they're kind of administrative, but this one committee, the Training and Education Committee, actually grows its responsibility as you start moving down this path of, you know, growing and actually overseeing, because the unorganized militia, again, this is a citizens' vigilance committee, which means that everybody needs to be looking at what the heck's going on in the county, why is this going on, and, you know, why is this being regulated? Why are these laws being created? We have to start challenging the veracity of how government is interfacing with these different things. So let's get into infrastructure, because that's the next box on here. Infrastructure. What is infrastructure? Infrastructure is your roadways. Infrastructure is your sewage system. Infrastructure is your water. I mean, if you look at ancient Rome had infrastructure. They had roads, they had sewage, they had water. They had basically public works in the ancient Rome model in Rome. And so your infrastructure is all of that, but we have to include other things that are part of infrastructure as well, like your phone, your internet service, your TV broadcasting, your radio broadcasting. This is important. You have to know who all of these communications, because that's what's a part of all of infrastructure as well. And so what we'll do, because we won't be able to cover the details on infrastructure, but we're going to pick up on infrastructure when we get back on Monday, because tomorrow is basically Feedback Friday, and I'm hoping to actually have a candidate on as a part of that broadcast tomorrow. So I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.